We're continuing the Bala Tanya in the commentary of the Chassidus Mavaris. We're on page Kuf Ayin Beis, right at the top of the commentary. After discussing that love is the root of the 248 positive mitzvahs, and that love comes from the Chochmah Bina V'Das that generates such love, and how we expanded the idea of the 613 mitzvahs are also aspects of that neshama. So now he goes into the aspect, and after he's explained, you know, how does love, how is it enclosed within the fulfillment of mitzvahs? We said that thoughts, speech, and actions are garments for the soul. So now he discusses how the meat of yira, how fear, is enclosed in guarding the 365 negative commandments you're not supposed to transgress. And if we cover enough ground, we'll come to an extremely important yisod. He's going to say that is relevant exactly to what we're learning Shabbos morning in a Baal Tanya Shmuz about the scepter. So let's see how far we can get today. In the bold. So the words of the Baal HaTanya say that Yira is the root of the 365 negative commandments. Why? Because he is afraid to rebel against the King of all kings. Explains the Baal HaTanya. Zehirus amitis milavor al mitzvos lo sasehi kasher hinovas miras Hashem. The true watchfulness from transgressing a negative commandment, it comes forth from Yiras Hashem. He's talking about Yiras Amitis, to really be careful. Not just Stam, but to really be careful. Kiraka Sharleva Ara Mole Barig Shayira Klavikarish Brachu. Only when a person's heart is filled with feelings of Yira towards Hashem, Shirore Limrod Bayis Brach, that the person is Yore. I don't want to use the word fierce because it's really doesn't translate good, but we'll say it, but that's not how it's going to impact. So he's afraid to rebel against Hashem. So if you have that fear, you're going to be very careful not to transgress any one of the negative commandments. When a person, to the degree that a person's heart is filled more with feelings of Yiras Hashem, you're going to be much more careful in transgressing Hashem's will. V'nimtza comes out, Sheregesh Yiras Hashem. The feeling of fear of Hashem, Melubash Metoch Menias HaNefesh Melavor Chas V'Shalom Ratzon Yisbrach. How is it enclothed? How can you tell the person's got Yiras Hashem? You can't tell from what he does, but from what he doesn't do. From the soul refraining from transgressing the will of Hashem. Footnote 22 at the very bottom says, it's clear from the Baal HaTanya's words, he's not talking about the fear that's associated with fear of punishment. But rather, it's the way the commentary, the Tosfos Yontif, explains the concept of Yorei Chet, which is Shemorov, Godlov, Amiti, Mutosalov, that his Hashem's awesomeness and his greatness is placed upon him. Like the fear of a person from a king. This is not talking about merely the fear of punishment, but the overall awe over the king. Lasos he's too afraid just to go against the king. Not even if the king would punish him, but just don't want to do something against his will. Ubechasidus mavur, and in Chasidus we explain like this: Diras haonesh hu lagarmi. Fear of punishment is lagarmi, for one's self. Garme means oneself in Aramaic. Hainu lo yiras hakadosh baruch hu. That's not fear of Hashem if you're afraid to get a punishment. It's only for your own benefit. It's only because you care about yourself. You don't want to get hit. You don't want to get punished. So you don't want to get punished. Listen to God. Doesn't mean you fear God. It means you want to live good. He's afraid of losing his yeshus, his essence of what he is. Okay, that's all we need. So we're not talking about fear of punishment. We're talking about a fear of not wanting to rebel against Hashem. Okay, next line back upstairs in the Baal HaTanya. Now he goes a little bit deeper. Or another type of yira. O yira penimius mizu. There's even a deeper yira than this. Shemisposhesh migudluso. That he is embarrassed. We'll see, it's a bad word, English translation. Embarrassed from his greatness. Huglael was brought earlier in the Baal HaTanya. He talked about this already. Sheish madrega nalis b'yiras Hashem and ikras yiras boshes. There's a high level of yiras Hashem that's called the fear out of boshes. Haynu she'ein ze rega shel yir b'fachad. This is not a feeling of fear. Shirare limrod b'kodesh baruch hu, that you're afraid to rebel against Hashem. But more, el rega shel busha klapei kodesh baruch hu. It's a feeling of embarrassment and shame before Hashem. What does he mean? Again, that word doesn't translate well. But once a person recognizes that Hashem is truly the infinite being, he recognizes himself in contrast to Hashem as a very low, dark creature. And therefore, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, V'yore v'yipachad mishiflus v'doloso, he is afraid from his own lowliness and poverty. He fills himself as an empty container filled with shame and deeper shame, totally empty and lacking. In other words, that's in contrast to Hashem. You really feel like nothing. And that's the boshas he's talking about. Not that you're ashamed of who you are, right? So I guess there's no other word we can use that can reflect this idea, right? Yira zuni kreis yira panimis. This kind of yira is called an inner yira, while the fear of rebelling against Hashem is an outer yira. Well, fear of punishment isn't yira at all. Okay, you got it? There's three levels. Fear of punishment isn't any form of yira. It's self-preservation. That's not yira. It's of some value. At least you don't do the avera, but that's about it. But then we're talking about the external yira is the yira to rebel against Hashem. And the internal yira is this total feeling of nothingness before Hashem. Explains, ki rega shabusha v'izbatlus klapei kodesh baruch hu rikshi pnimi. Feelings of busha and nullification before Hashem is an inner feeling. It's a much deeper feeling that goes deeper into the soul than the fear of rebelling against Hashem, which only deals with your actions towards the king. So let's go to the back of the book and Os Pei Gimel that elaborates on this last point. Os Pei Gimel. Pei Shin Nun Ches. The right hand side of the page. Right hand page. Shin Nun Ches, the right hand side page, left column. Pei Gimel. The difference between these two levels of fear, the outer fear and the inner fear, isn't only in terms of the person, also in terms of Hashem, the one who you are afraid of. That the year of Boshes is called an inner fear, because it comes from the innermost aspect of godliness. Perish, skipping the brackets, meaning to say, Hayira limra b'kodesh baruch hu yira mitzad achitzonius delokus. The yira from rebelling against Hashem comes from the fear that's on the external side of godliness. Kumal derech mashal, for example, Hayira v'apacha v'melech godol v'nair. Let's say a person who is afraid of an awesome king. So what are you afraid of from the king? What of the king are you afraid of? It's only from the external of the king. The king radiates kingship. There's an internal and external radiating of kingship. His kingdom expands, reaches, you know, it's far flung to all types of provinces and countries. And that aspect of his kingship you don't want to rebel against. And therefore, this attribute of fear comes from the fact you recognize Hashem's greatness spans the entire world. Hashem is mamish, the king over everything. And I don't want to rebel against such a kingdom. I don't want to spoil such a wonderful kingdom. So your external fear is paralleling the fear of the external manifestation of Hashem's reality. Masha'enkin, Yira Saboshes, but that higher level of the Yira of Boshes, Bo Mitzada Korvar Goshes, Bin Bechinus Pinimus Elikus, that comes to understand the inner godliness of Hashem. She Gadluso Yisprach Mem Ha'amitis, that is the true greatness, that's much higher than the one Shalomalame Gadlusa Nikars Mitocha Priya. It's more than the greatness of the fear that you get out of his creation. And that's those all ideas we talked about. Memale Kol Almim, Sovev Kol Almim, all those three different levels we talked about. That's really being impressed by the inner content of Hashem. That he is infusing reality into everything, and without him there is no reality. It's not just a question of dominion. It's a question of his total being the ultimate reality of everything. So that's to the degree that you appreciate the depth of Hashem, that degree you'll have that kind of yira. So both yiras are fine. The yira not to rebel against the kingdom and the yira of Boshes, one is more manifest in one's activities and one is more manifest within what's going on within oneself. Okay. Anyway, just defining the kind of yira one should have and the kind of feelings one should have. So let's go back to the Chassidus Mevaris and Kuf Ayin Gimel. So, it's one long sentence. We're still in the middle of the Bala Tanya now. He's afraid to rebel against a king, or he has a deeper content of fear. Lamros Eine Kvodo. Okay, in light of the eyes of his covet. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. So let's see how he explains that. Yira penimizu, this deeper yira, mispatas gamba poel vizhirus mukhleta shal adam milavra shasam mitzvah sol saseh, it manifests itself in the actual carefulness that is placed on a person from transgressing the negative commandments. Vahinu shemis poshesh lamros einei kvodo. He's afraid to rebel in the eyes of his great covet. As you don't want to get Hashem upset. Right? That you have such a fear. You don't want to get Hashem upset. Not because he's going to punish you. You just don't want to upset the king. Commercial Talmud Osa Dover Maguna. Let's say a student is doing something that's not respectful. Upisam Nicholas Rabo should side of the course. And then the Rebbe walks into the room and catches you doing something very silly. Can you imagine, let's say, you know, in yeshiva, you know, Bachram could want to imitate rock stars. Want to imitate a rock star. Right? Is it a rock star? And then a Rosh Yeshiva walks in. Are you afraid he's going to punish you? You're afraid he's going to throw out of the yeshiva? He might do that too, but that's not the real problem. The problem is you're embarrassed to behave that way in front of him. Veroes masav, and the tzaddik sees what you're doing. Shabos arega, talmud yirid, v'yechor, v'yirtz, livroch, lechabim, mirovusha. At that moment, the student is a fright takes over him. He wants to run away and hide because he's so embarrassed. Cain v'yosem Cain. So does that much more. Uregesh ha'yir of Abusha v'leva adam la'asos eiz adav v'shu rabbi ne'ashem. That's how embarrassed a person is to do something bad in the eyes of Hashem. G'sha yesh po be'emes mida p'nim yesu shal rishi pavosh. When you have this inner yira of shame for Hashem. And therefore, what will happen? So you're afraid to rebel. You're also afraid v'la'asos ha'rabbi. You're afraid to do evil in his eyes. Kol tovas Hashem asher sonei. All the abominations of Hashem which he hates. Hey, my klipas for sitra achra. This is the klipos, the outer shell, and the sitra achra, the other side. Now he's getting into the first of the important points. Really, there's two major points he's going to say. He explains, Iker habusha, basiyas aver, enarak mishum shazoi meridas personis brach. The main busha, the main shame that would come in doing an aver is not only because that's rebelling against Hashem. Here's the deeper part. With that action of the Avera, that you do bad in Hashem's eyes, he makes Not only does he make, we think oisa ra means he made a bad activity. He did a bad activity. He ate treif. He spoke lashon hara. That was bad. No, it's more. It's oisa. He makes and increases the evil, the source of evil that's in the world, which is an abomination, which he hates, which is what? Hemaklipa sachachar. It's the klipa and the force of the other side. When a person has a sin, he gives strength to the klipas and the other side. What's the other side? The other side are the powers that hide godliness in the world. As he's going to elaborate on in the next line. I don't have to explain. He's going to explain it for you. See, what is he talking about? You'll see in 1 second. The Baal Tanya continues. Yes, you are doing bad in God's eyes, is you're increasing the evil in the world, not from your action merely, but you're adding on to the power of the force of evil in this world. There's a force of evil. That's the sitrach. There's a force in the world that covers up Hashem. It's not hard to know that there's such a force nowadays. It's not hard. There was a... One of the Japanese ministers was talking that had the audacity. No, it wasn't a minister. It was, I think, maybe someone in politics. Someone in the politics said that the earthquake was a divine retribution, and they all jumped on him. And he had a, you know, of course you can never say what you want to say, and he said it, and now he had to apologize. He said, "I didn't mean it." Yeah. What do you say? It's a divine retribution. What did these people do to deserve anything bad in this world? You know, what did they do? So they helped three yeshiva bachurim and tortured them for 3 years. They didn't do anything, right? But the truth is, you are adding to the forces of the sitra achar, which cover up any perception of the reality of Hashem in this world. Every aveira you do, it's like lahavdol. Every aveira you do is like sending money to Hitler's troops. Because, you know, Hitler without the sitra achar wouldn't have been so successful, obviously. Hitler was a manifestation of the ra of the sitra achar. Only when the sitra achar has such power could it bring such a terrible man into the world. If the power of the sitra achar was small, he wouldn't have been brought in. So every time you do an aveira, right, you are giving force and power to the evil side, which only can be bad for the Jewish people. There's less reality of God in this world. When the Jewish people ate from the party of Achashverosh, when Mordechai said not to, you're not listening to the Chachamim, you transgress a lo saseh, not listening to the Chachamim, and everything else that went on over there, right? You added force to the kochas hara in the world. That's all. So it's not like, well, it's my own life, let me do what I want. It doesn't work that way. It's not your own life. You are connected to entire Jewish people. Anyone who does anything bad adds to the negative force in this world and has much more power, and therefore it makes it harder for all Yidden to be able to overcome that force. And that makes a frum Jew finding it difficult on a Friday morning to get up to come to shul at such an ungodly hour at 6:45. Why? People just can't get up because there's kochas hara in the world. If there weren't such kochas hara in the world and God was more manifest in the world, you'd be up, even if it's a Friday. Same thing. So let's explain the bottom line. B'taras hasod, from a mystical point of view, in the beginning of creation, Hashem did give a certain amount of power to this force of evil. Next page. Why? So they can exist. The Yetzirah, all the bad guys, all the bad forces. He had to give them some force to exist. However, but in addition to the regular force, there's additional nurturing. Where does that come from? That's where the klipas receive extra force and extra life, which is given to them beyond what they originally had when they were created. And where does that come from? And this additional life force is nurtured from the lower man. That's us. As he says in the brackets. Kolomar ha'adam ha'gash mishom hazeh. The physical man can give more force to the other sides of evil. And that's the pasuk in Tehillim that says, Tenu olos Elokim, give strength to Hashem. Because the more you give strength to the other side, the less apparent is Hashem's strength in this world. Right? So, you know, that perhaps could understand why the whole miracles of the Megillah had to be hidden. Because when you're giving so much force to the Klipas, there's so much strength, and the Jews are the ones who gave it the strength. So if you gave it to the strength, then the only way you're going to get around it is without it being so obvious that Hashem is there. You're working within that context now. When the Jews do things to really bring, to take away, if we avoid doing Averis, we weaken that force. When that force is weakened, then it's easier for Hashem's greatness to be more realized. So it's like they didn't do anything. It was mamish. The Jews, you know, they kept bowing down to Haman. They're bowing down to the idol he had there. Throughout the story, it's just one negative after another. Just feeding that negative force. Feeding it, feeding it, feeding it, feeding it. So even if you're going to get saved, you know, so what was going on the whole time? They were feeding it. So in the background, Hashem is laying down the steps necessary for the salvation if he decides to make the salvation. And there it is. He has Vashti hung. It's all while the Jews are negative. He has Esther going to become the queen. He has Mordechai finding out about Bigson and Seresh, puts a good word in for the king. This is all when nobody knows anything's at risk yet. Hashem's laying the groundwork piece by piece by piece, slowly, slowly. Nobody knows anything's going on. Because why? The fort, and Haman is ascending and ascending and ascending and ascending. Jews are just giving more force and power. Now, had the Jews not done tshuva, then all that background preparation would have been of no value. Hashem was setting it up. Should the Jews decide to do tshuva, I've put all the pieces in place that they can be saved in a way that you won't even know that I saved them. Because there's no other way that Hashem can do it. There's no other way Hashem can do it. Because we're giving too much force to the force of evil, and which means you can't perceive Hashem. It covers it up. So even in the salvation, that's how it's going to have to come out. That's what Gullus is all about. So that's the point he's saying over here. Okay. Kashero over al mitzvah also say when you transgress a negative commandment. When a person does averis, he brings force into his soul through the abomination of Hashem that he hates. Dvarim shall klipa v'sitracher, aspects of the klipa on the other side. V'az yesh l'klipas achizabo. Then the klipas have a handle on the person himself. V'en yonkos mimenu tosvos koch v'kis. And they draw forth from him more life force for evil. So you have to explain the footnotes 27, 28. Gives a little bit more explanation. What do those words mean? Achizosom bo. That's what the Baal Tanya says. What's achizasam bo? So it's yesh aper shulashan rabbeinu achizasam bo, that is grabbing in him. Shizel inyan nosaf, that's an extra point. Shalozu vavachal de masa vera adam gairim tosefasinika leklipos. It's not enough that through your aver you're giving extra force to the force of evil. And that's when you're doing the actual Aveira, that's when it's happening, but also more, El Shal Dezak, Klipas Nechazes Bar, but more so the Klipas grab hold of the person! As it says in Sota, Shavera Malafafeso, and Avera hovers around it, licks up, it's all around, it's attached around him. And Tumas HaNefesh, Vapkaman Isharimba, the tomb of the soul and the blemish that remains, Gamachre Masachid, even after the sin. You remain with that stigma of the Sitra Acher surrounding you. You're a shtick Sitra Acher. And therefore you are a being that covers up Hashem. And you become one of his agents that are covering up Hashem. Point 28, the next footnote. Kashar Namoritis Asu, a Klipas Sitra Acher al Yidei Ma'asaver. When a person lowers himself to be on the side of evil through his averus. Okay, harehu gorim shekach yegamot. He caused that's what's going to happen above too, as it were. So now upstairs you give more power. When you become it's very simple. If somebody becomes now a turncoat, a traitor to his country, he gives strength to the opposing country. When you do the Avera, there's a klipa surrounding you now. And you're a person now who gives off negative energy to conceal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now that gives strength above, to the forces above. Forces above, I have one another one to the cause. As we said, if you recall from Rav Wolfson's piece we did a number of months ago, that the Sitraka tries to get the best people. Right? And Hashem makes it that way, that the best people are born from the worst homes, so he has a chance to catch them. If he catches them, well, you've strengthened the power. Right? If we lose a child, leaves the Jewish day school and goes away from Jewish day school, the Sitra Achra has now another power. It's not another powerhouse. Every child we lose, that's what comes from that. Okay, back upstairs. V'zein in Yiras HaBoshes. This is the idea of the Yiras Boshes. HaMelubeshes B'Shmiras Mitzvah, I'll say, by you guarding to not transgress the negatives. Because Sher Gadlusi is Baruch Nirgeshes B'Nefesh Adam Achimis Boshes M'Gadluso, when the greatness of Hashem is perceived in the soul of the person, that he's even so ashamed of Hashem's greatness. Ariyum Mizbayish V'Nirso Melasos Dover Avera Graim L'Riba B'Gachas Klipa. You're embarrassed and you recoil from wanting to do any of it that will cause strength to the other forces. Those are the abominations of Hashem which he hates, which is a clear, certain contradiction of Hashem's greatness. If you realize how great Hashem is, why would you want to cover that up? That the whole world doesn't see it. That's why you would never chasom want to do an avera. Right, that's if you really understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then that Yira comes into place. That Gvura, that takes Gvura. Yira is from Gvura. Which we'll talk about more tomorrow afternoon. When you have that Gvura, then you can control yourself to not do an Avera. There's a taiva to do the Avera. Do you realize how terrible it is? If you know, even, no matter how much you want to, if the doctor said you eat something not healthy, it adds strength to the cancer agents in your body. You wouldn't eat it. So the same thing, he's saying if you eat not kosher, you are adding strength to the force of evil in the world, which ultimately brings a Hitler to power. Brings a Haman to power. That's all. Haman could never have done what he did if there weren't all the Jews became warehouses to the Klipa. They kept bowing down to Haman. Everybody bowed down to Haman except Mordechai. Okay, do you get this? Everybody bowed down to him. So you know how much strength the Klipa had? Everyone was a Klipa agent. They were practicing Jews who were Klipa agents. You got this one Mordechai who's saying, you know, we got to not, you know, and he's the one who's trying to fight against all that. You can begin to appreciate the greatness of Mordechai and Esther, that he's being able to go against all the Klipa agents in the world. Okay, list sikum. Let's now we get to a summary of what he said. Nisbar, I don't know why he doesn't wait another two pages for the summaries, because that's the kitzur is coming up. But anyway, Nisbar shemachshava diber ma'aser shel tardik mitzvos hatorah nikraim levusha nefesh elokus. We explain that thought, speech, and action of the regarding the 613 mitzvahs are called the garments of the godly soul. Lefisha besocha malbushim asara kochas nefesh, because through them is garmented the 10 spheros, which are the 10 forces of the soul, which is broken down to seichel and midas. Therefore, kima miti shel Torah mitzvahs. How is there a true maintenance of Torah mitzvahs? Urak asher batoch amachshava dibur ma'aser shel ha'esek b'Torah mitzvahs v'lavashim ha'seichel v'hergesh ta'ava v'yir shel neshama. That only really happens when it's garmented in thought, speech, and action with feelings of love and fear. But if you learn Torah and do mitzvahs without those feelings, that's like a physical garment that nobody is wearing. It's like a garment without a person in it. It's like it's on the rack. It's on a mannequin. Putting clothing on a mannequin isn't really much use. So if you do mitzvahs without love and fear of Hashem, then it's an action. It's an action, but there's nothing behind the action. There's no closest action. Like we said last week, it's the korban without the feeling of wanting to get close to Hashem. Right. Next page. Kimao sa adam hein eser b'chinas nafshi, because the essence of the person are the 10 levels of his soul. Sichel midos of the seichel and the midos. Vilu machshav of dibra ma'isa einam ela levushei hanefesh, but thought, speech, and action are only garments of the soul. Shemin chitzoni legabi ma'as adam. So they're only external to the actual essence of the person. A person who's very careful to be mitzvahs, very careful not to have avaras. Became but his essence is not connected to Hashem at all. Because his being engaged in Torah mitzvahs is only through the garments of thought, speech, and action. It's not a love and fear that's coming from the heart and the mind. His whole avodas Hashem is external, not from his essence. And he himself is distance from Hashem. Therefore, the true service of Hashem. It really is when, within the observance of Torah mitzvahs, through thought, speech, and action, but they are enclothing the intellect and the midos that really are there within the person. That means when he does the mitzvah, it's coming forth from an understanding of the greatness of Hashem intellectually, and an emotional arousal of love and fear that's coming out of the heart. And that's what's motivating those actions. Just called Nafsho Mahusum Lubashis Bavodas Isbrach. Then his whole essence is enclosed in the service of Hashem. Right? In other words, you know, Lo Aleinu, a paraplegic who loves Hashem. Mamish, he wishes he could do that. He can't. He doesn't have the garments to put on. So, but he's there, you know, and he wants. So you're going to see shortly. So what? So it's good enough if you don't do. That's going to be coming up, that question. This is one of the aspects that the Baal Shem Tov focused on. He stressed. How important is it? It has to be that you have to have avodas Hashem through fear and love in the heart and in the mind. That's critical. Okay, so you understand. If you're missing the seichel, the proper seichel of understanding what Hashem is, you'll never come to the feelings that come from the seichel of the true fear and love. You're going to be operating all 613 mitzvahs without the 10 spheros. It's like it's just clothes on a mannequin. You're not putting it on. Or better yet, it's like you have a whole wardrobe of clothes, but you're not wearing them. They're there, but they're not on you. Now comes the important question. Now you gotta explain. If you're saying the real aspect, the true avoda is when the inner content of the person is engaged. And doing the actual mitzvahs is only a external expression, like a garment. So then why do we find that the main obligation of a person on this world isn't in the chovos halvavos, the duties of the heart, where we develop this understanding of the greatness of Hashem and love and fear, but it is through learning Torah and doing mitzvahs mamish with thought, speech, and action. In other words, not to take away from what the whole Sefer Chovos HaLevavos was about, but the Torah doesn't talk too much about that. The Torah talks more about thought, speech, and action. It doesn't talk so much about this idea of understanding. There's a few psukim here and there. But there's more stress. Why is there so much stress on doing? Seeing as you don't do, it's also fine. So now comes the very, very deep, deep idea he's going to bring into, which we'll begin expand on. And that's, he starts with the words of the Balatanya. These three garments of thought, speech, and action, which are garments of the Torah mitzvahs that you do, that is the Torah mitzvahs. Ashni krem levushin lefesh ruach neshama, even though they're called garments of the soul, im kolzeh, still, gav of a godl malosun lein kates v'sof al malos nefesh ruach neshama. The mitzvahs that you do through thought, speech, and action are higher in level, and there's no end to them, much higher than the levels of the soul itself. Your nefesh, ruach, neshama, which is the nefesh elokis, which is amazing, but the nefesh elokis in and of itself is not as great as the mitzvahs that are done through the garments of that nefesh elokis. More than that. It's exactly what we did last Shabbos. We started last Shabbos morning, and we're going to finish tomorrow morning. Mitzvah Shem. He explains. In general, usually garments are a lower level than the one wearing them. Just like in the physical world. A garment is subordinate to the one who wears them, obviously. In our situation, Malas nefesh ruach neshama, the levels, the three levels of the actual soul. Next page. So the three levels of soul should be higher than the levels of the 630 mitzvahs. They're only garments to the soul. But the truth is, it's the opposite. Even though the 10 spheres within the soul are extremely lofty, it brings so much comprehension of what Hashem is and brings such great feelings of love and fear to Hashem. They're amazing. That comes to, that's the soul. That's the inner content. That's the person. The garments of the soul, when you actually think and speak and do the mitzvahs, are even higher. They're higher than the intellect and the midos, beyond. Now he's about to explain how that works. In other words, what he's saying is that the moment that you do a mitzvah, you are on the highest level, higher than at the moment that you're feeling the love for Hashem. When you're intellectually understand what Hashem is all about, and therefore feelings of love and fear are just gushing out of you at that point in time, which is a great level, but it doesn't compare at all to then when you put on your tefillin from those feelings. Now, putting on tefillin without the feelings is not going to be worth much, because it's going to be a garment without a person wearing it. You've got to have the feelings. They've got to be there. The understanding and the feelings have to be there. And without that, you're wearing garments that are worthless. But even if you have them, once you put on the garments, then those garments are beyond. And you are doing them at that point in time, then you attach yourself to going beyond. And this is what we're going to see. This is the, what we said on Shabbos morning, the Shoachas. When we talked about Shoachas, that the 1 hour of Tshuva Meisim told me this world is greater than all the pleasure of the world to come. Because the world to come, you don't do mitzvahs. World to come, you will have that feeling of Avin Yira. You'll have that feeling of Avin Yira, which is amazing. And you'll be close to Hashem. It's amazing. But you get closer to Hashem during the Shachas of Tshuva Meisim Tov in this world. Because only in this world can you do mitzvahs. In this world, you can, this world, when you're doing that hour of Tshuva Meisim Tov, in that world, in this world for that minute, for that hour, you are higher than the level of being in the world to come. You're higher than that. Now it gives you an idea of what Mashiach is going to be like. That's why you have to have Mashiach. Mashiach means every minute will be a Shachas. Because every minute you'll have this feeling of be serving Hashem. Right? That's going to be such an amazing time in our lives. And that's why we said why they deserve destruction. Why do the Jews deserve destruction? From being Nehenna from the Suda Melech. Enjoying the Suda Melech. What's so bad about enjoying a Suda? It was kosher food. What's so bad? The answer is, but they were Nehenna. They enjoyed it. They felt like being invited to the king's party is the best Shah Achas they could ever have in their lives. When you believe that being invited to a dignitary's home is really unbelievable. If you believe that getting a hockey player's autograph is the greatest thing you could ever want, then you know what? That's about the worst thing you could be as a Jew. You have to at least you can go to the party, just don't enjoy it. If you have to go, you have to go. If they didn't enjoy, we have to go politically. Okay, you go politically, and I'm not enjoying it, fine. Hashem wouldn't find. But if you enjoyed being at that party, that means that's what you enjoy, then you don't really have, then you've defined your Shachas. Everyone is judged, ultimately, what's your Shachas? You say, well, really, 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 you know what, I really would rather just sit and learn Torah. If you give me an hour of that, that's what I really enjoy. Then that's what life is worth. But if you don't believe that that Shachas is being connected to Hashem, then there's no reason for you to exist. Now, it could be you struggle with the Yetzer and the Yetzer beats you all the time and you make mistakes. You know, that's what Rabbi Nachman said. At least he could say I accomplished with my students is that when they did an Aver, they wouldn't enjoy it. Which means they would believe that's not their Shachas. If you do the Aver and you enjoy it, then you're in big trouble. If you at least don't enjoy it, okay. You're hating yourself while you're doing it. Okay, then you know it's not your Shachas. Remember that Shachas of Tshuva Ma'aseh Tovim, which is greater than all the pleasure of the world to come. Even though all the pleasure of the world to come is a minute of the pleasure of the world to come is greater than all the pleasure of this world. That's the physical pleasure of this world. But the spiritual pleasure of actually doing a mitzvah with a lev shalem, that is higher than Olam Haba. So you don't have to wait to die to enjoy the great fruits of Judaism. They're available any hour you want them. Right? And that's the dveikus that you can achieve here on the higher levels when you're engaged in Torah mitzvahs, which could be every minute of the day if you wanted to. And now the rationale behind that is what still has to be defined, and that we'll pick up on next week in Mitzvah Shem. Not next week. In 2 weeks. Yes.